in order to publish in the palm leaf the lessons that Judy and I are going to use for our sermons, we do it quite a bit ahead of time. And this lesson from Mark, I chose quite a while ago. And it is particularly important, I think, to me, and I've been thinking about it all week in light of the shootings and the killings in South Carolina. And I thought yesterday it would be very easy to ask the question that we all do at certain times in our lives, where was God when this was happening? We talk about the church being the safe place. We have a safe church policy that we use to protect ourselves and to encourage people to look out for one another. And then we read about 9 people murdered in their church. So I want you to keep that, please, keep that church, that AME church in Charleston, in your prayers. And think about that a little bit in this lesson and try to put yourself in the place of the disciples in this lesson. Jesus is out on the near the lake preaching. And this is from Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side," meaning the other side of the lake. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." May God add blessing to the reading of the word. I also thought about this in terms of Father's Day, about the issue of safety and how I always felt safe with my father, the World War II Marine. And it's easy for us to identify with the disciples, I think, in this boat. Ever been in a sinking boat? Anybody ever been in a sinking boat? Have you ever been on a runaway horse? I have. How about in a car with no brakes? Yeah. So we can identify with these disciples who are in this boat that is about to sink. And what about the other part of the story, of course, is that Jesus' initial response to this dilemma that the disciples found themselves in, or should we say, a lack of response. This story is sort of a parable. There's the boat and the lake and the storm and the calm that follows when Jesus calms the waves and the winds, all of which we can interpret in our own life situations. We can look at these elements in this story and think about our life's experiences and the situations we've been in our lives. When I was probably about 13 or 14 maybe, I went to YMCA camp up in the mountains in Southern California, and they had a big lake. And I was a pretty good swimmer, so I thought, I'm going to swim across the lake. Well, I got out to about the middle, you know, the point where you, either way, it's the same distance to keep going or give up and go back. The point of no return, I think we call it. And there were weeds in the lake. And I started getting my feet tangled up in the weeds. And the more I fought the weeds, the more tired I got. And I was scared. I was out there by myself. So I decided, what could I do? So I rolled over and floated on my back until I got some more energy, and then fought my way through the weeds. So we've all been in those situations where we're scared, really scared. And I think about that church in Charleston today, about how frightening they must still feel. So the disciples were in that boat, and the boat was filling up with water. Then there's Jesus, right? He's their leader, he's their teacher, their guide. He's the one they left their homes and family for to go and follow to who knows where. And he's asleep in the back of the boat, seemingly unconcerned with the storm, unconcerned with the water that's filling the boat, and unconcerned with the looks of terror on the disciples' faces. So there are three forms of fear here. One is the physical form, we're going to drown. There's the emotional fear, I don't want to die. And there's the spiritual fear of Jesus doesn't care. Have you ever said to yourself, or at least thought it, if God really cared for me, this wouldn't be happening? You've heard about the guy who's mountain climbing. He slides off a cliff, and on the way down, 3,000-foot drop, there's this root of a tree hanging out, and he grabs onto the root. I think David knows this one. And the root is starting to give way, and so he's hollering up to the cliff. Is anybody there? Is anybody there? Help! Help me! No answer. Is anybody there? Is anybody there? And this big booming voice comes down from the heavens. It says, I'm here. Let go. I will save you. So he's hanging from the root, and it's getting slippery and slippery. And he thinks for a minute, and then he says, is anyone else up there? So Jesus knows the disciples' fears and doubts as he's lying there on this cushion in the back of the boat. And so he gets up, I can imagine, kind of exasperated. He gets up and calms the waves and the wind. And then he says, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? Maybe Jesus was really saying, what's it going to take for you to believe in me and the Holy One who sent me? That question, of course, is always one for us. What is it going to take for us to believe? Remember, John's disciples came to Jesus asking on John's behalf if he, Jesus, was the one that was to come, the one that was prophesied, the one that John was sent to be a herald for. Jesus responded to this question from John's disciples, and he says, go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. The dead rise. The poor have the good news preached to them. And we might add to that, what more do you want? What more proof do you need? My mom always called me a worry wart. Anybody ever call you a worry wart? Yeah, my mom did. Not sure exactly why. I suppose as a kid I kind of fretted about things. I have since been bailed out of so many jams by unexpected blessings that I'm convinced that someone somewhere is looking out for me. And will continue to do so no matter what may happen to me down the line. Had not Jesus' disciples seen him heal the sick, cast out demons, proclaim the coming of God's realm, yet they still doubted. And they feared for their lives in their sinking boat. A couple of weeks ago in our lectionary study that Judy and I go to on Wednesdays with Brady and Susan from United Church of Sun City, we ask ourselves a question, what's the difference between belief and faith? Belief and faith. Well, of course, we had to go to Hebrews 11 immediately that tells us that now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not yet seen. That's the definition of faith in Hebrews. In the Good News Bible version, it says, to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, and to be certain of the things we cannot see. In the Message version, as it often does, takes a different slant that says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, trust in God, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It is our handle on what we can't see. So we four pseudo-theologians thought, maybe, this may be all wrong, but this is the way I remember, Judy. Belief relies on knowledge in the broadest sense. That belief relies on knowledge. Faith is grounded in trust. Faith is grounded in trust. We believe that the sun will rise in the east because we have knowledge of science and we have experienced it. We have faith that the sun will rise in the east tomorrow because we believe in the creator and sustainer of the universe. I don't think we'll be writing any books with a definition like that, but it sounds good. Asking a very difficult question. For the disciples in the sinking boat, they believed that eventually the boat would fill with water and sink. This, of course, was based on their experience as fishermen, many of them, and just common sense. What they lacked was faith in God that this would not happen to them. How often have we doubted God's presence and protection when things in our life are scaring us? I didn't really pray out in that lake. I just had to figure out how to keep from drowning. How often have we run about like Chicken Little crying, the sky is falling, and it's going to fall right on my head. I suspect I'm not the only worrywart in this room. I like to think I'm a worrywart in recovery, but I have my share of relapses. So the journey goes on for us, learning to trust God with our lives, especially in the hard times. Living in Jesus' promise, I will be with you always, even to the end of time. And we live in the light of a still-speaking God who offers an extravagant welcome to all of us, whoever we are, to travel together under a love that will not let us go. In such a God, we trust. Amen.